Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And welcome to the Billboard Chartbeat Podcast. Gary Trust, Billboard's co-director of charts.
And hey guys, it's Trevor Anderson, Billboard's chart manager.
This is where we talk about why what's on the charts is on the charts. Look at a historical aspect as well to compare what's going on now with what's happened in the past. And actually see this week there's something happening on the Billboard Hot 100 that has never happened before. So we'll get into that. It's summertime, Trevor. Memorial Day has happened.
Even though for us in New York, it's barely 60 degrees, so not quite the summer we were expecting.
It's not snowing, at least. A little break from the snow.
We're not quite at the nuclear winter yet.
All right, lots to get to on the podcast this week. As always, we'll run down the top 10 of the Billboard Hot 100. Record for Ed Sheeran in the top 5 this week. Main part of the show, our guest this week is Andrea Dresdale from ABC Radio. She was at the Billboard Music Awards last week. Cozied up to a lot of people. Trevor, we're going to find out who she was talking to backstage.
Yeah, there's a pretty good list of A-listers there. Some A-list children as well, which I guess they're still kind of A-list themselves, but some children of musical legends.
We'll also talk Song of the Summer with Andrea, so get really deep into summer music, some of which is already out, other songs that may be just building, maybe coming along this summer as well. So we'll talk about that, and we're also going to flash back all the way to 2015.
To another massive summer hit, courtesy of Taylor Swift and Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah, and there's kind of a tie-in to what's happening on the Hot 100 with that this week as well. So we will get to all that this week. First, here is this week's top 10 on the Billboard Hot 100.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Push me to the edge. Phantom, that's all right. Inside all white. Like how then you ride a sled.
Number 3.
I'm the one, yeah.
Number 2. and number one.
Poquito a poquito, y es que esa belleza es un rompecabezas, pero pa' montarlo aquí tengo la pieza, oye.
Despacito, quiero respirar tu cuello despacito.
And number one for a third week, or as we might say here, una tercera semana. Yeah.
Très bien, Trevor.
That you need to put like the, you got to put the in it. Where's it at, Gary?
That's the best of my French.
That's the best he's got. But yeah, third week at number one this week on the Hot 100 for Despacito. That is the Luis Fonsi and Daddy Yankee song featuring Justin Bieber. It's number one this week again, Gary, on the Hot 100. And it's showing no signs of slowing down. In fact, it's getting even stronger, up 14% this week in overall activity.
Yeah, so I think a lot of people have been looking at sort of the battle, you know, the battle of the Bieber songs, Despacito and I'm the One. I'm the One debuted at number one, but then Despacito has taken it over and last couple of weeks really outpacing it. So as you just said, Trevor, up 14% this week for Despacito. I'm the One is up 3%. Last week they were up 11% and 1%. So both gaining, but Despacito gaining a lot more, really widening its lead. And as we're about to talk about more songs of the summer, Despacito could really be setting itself up for a really long run at number one.
Yeah. Yeah. This would have been, I mean, crazy if you would have predicted this, you know, even 3 months ago at the end of Q1 when Ed Sheeran was taken over as Bruno Mars, who's number two this week on the Hot 100. I know we kind of talked about one and three. This is the song that just it feels right with the mood, with summertime coming up, as we're talking about, just a feel-good, you know, dancey kind of layback song.
And yeah.
It works.
I heard it on KTU here in New York last week on the radio, and I thought it was interesting. Both at the same time, it sounded totally like it fits in on top 40 radio. And at the same time, if you were kind of half listening, you might think, why are they playing this Spanish language song that really sounds like a core Latin music hit? And then you hear Bieber and it all kind of works in. But it's just sort of interesting how it sounds completely like it fits at pop radio at the moment, but also that it stands out.
And yeah, I think that's kind of the sweet spot that every song, in theory, wants to try to hit, that it's, you know, it's different enough to where you seek it out, but at the same time, you know, it is in such a jar that people feel like, whoa, that's way too left field. I mean, again, yeah, you know, we've seen over the past couple of years in particular a lot of Latin music and Spanish music making its way up the charts a couple times. A lot of superstars have collaborated and really gotten on this wave. And I think, you know, maybe it's one of those things, too, as we hit more of a global society, you know, things that are, I mean, look at like the global Spotify or YouTube chart versus like the American chart. Dominated by Spanish music,
right?
And all it takes, I mean, literally nowadays, all it takes is one click for you to jump over and see what's going on over here, and you know, bam, you're there.
This is sort of turning out maybe like the summer of 2013 when you had the two Pharrell songs, you had
Get Lucky,
Blurred Lines, and Get Lucky,
yeah.
And maybe people might have thought that Get Lucky was going to be the bigger hit because it just sounded like more what's on the radio, really poppy. And then Blurred Lines kind of came out of nowhere, and that became the bigger hit. Maybe that's what's happening this year with Despacito and I'm the One.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that – I mean, I guess for better or worse was always on Team Blurred Lines. I mean, I like both of them a lot. And right. I thought that – it's weird because I thought Get Lucky was a better sort of quality song. Like when it won the Grammys and things like that, I was like, okay, like that's what needs it over Blurred Lines. But I felt like Blurred Lines was just such a groove, and I don't know if it's because it has at least been ruled to take so much of a Marvin Gaye song that, right, you know, you couldn't escape it.
But yeah, kind of interesting, right, that you've had these summers where two huge hits featuring the same artist, different types of songs, both wound up huge hits. And just because we're the charts department, we have to rank them and say which one is higher than the other one. And Blurred Lines wound up becoming a bigger hit long term than Get Lucky. But it seems like the same thing could be happening this year.
That's what the charts shaking out to look like. I mean, it's interesting because also I kind of wonder, I mean, with I'm the One having so many people on there, probably a lot of interesting chances for them to perform it. You know, who might bring out some guest artists on tour, or maybe in the summertime festival, Chance is doing a lot of spots, so maybe they'll pop up there as well.
All right, the other big news in the top five this week, Ed Sheeran is at number five, drops from four to five. But what's key about that is it's 20th week on the chart. They've all been in the top five. That's never happened before in the history of the Hot 100 that goes back to 1958.
Yeah, I mean, this song came out the first Friday of January, along with Castle on the Hill, and I mean, you know, basically ever since then, like all of 2017, this song has been in the top five of the Hot 100, which is obviously a record-breaking achievement. Do you think the song like feels 20 weeks old at this point? I guess that's the biggest thing for me. I know it's been out that long, but at the same time, it feels... It's like I don't even mind it. It's not like it feels overplayed or oversaturated.
I think a lot of these trap house songs that we've heard now in the last couple of years or so, because there's that reggae sound to them, there's something about the sound that just doesn't seem to age that much. They still sound fresh. It's a sound that just has a lot of staying power. I'm kind of with you. It still sounds pretty fresh.
Yeah, and I mean, like you mentioned, of course, the trap house sound being one of the key drivers of it. I mean, it takes the record of that 20 weeks in the top five from another trap house leaning track, which is Justin Bieber's Sorry, which had its first 19 weeks in the top five when it debuted at the end of 2015 and carrying over into 2016. I mean, of course, another Bieber achievement from this last cycle has been huge. Obviously, that really helped usher in their albums, you know, Divide from Ed Sheeran, Purpose from Justin Bieber, lighting up the charts as well, doing exceptionally well. So yeah, maybe it is something about that particular groove that makes it, you know, I mean, even last year's Sia as Cheap Thrills,
right.
Same kind of vibe, was a huge summer hit at radio, you know, just longevity was good as well.
Songs with kind of a happy, upbeat dance sound just tend to always sound fresh. I mean, disco songs now 40 yeah. years later still sound fresh. Maybe there's some element of that to it.
I mean, even One Dance, I feel like, doesn't sound
right,
you know, as big as that was and as much as we kind of heard it. It doesn't to me feel like, oh god, One Dance again.
And one more Ed Sheeran angle for this week, Liam Payne's Strip That Down featuring Quavo is the Hot 100's top debut. Ed Sheeran is one of the writers. He's actually one of 15 writers on the song.
You know, and that, I guess that's one thing that people lament about music nowadays is there are 15 writers on a track. What happened to the good old days when Freddie Mercury could, you know, pin it out himself or Michael Jackson or you know, Lennon McCartney, whoever?
Do we need 13 more people on the podcast?
Could you imagine?
So Ed Sheeran doing well. Also, Castle on the Hill, the follow-up to Shape of You, hits the top 30 this week, goes 39 to 30. We had John McMahon on from Atlantic Records here on the podcast a few weeks ago. He was saying how you kind of worry in that situation. It's a good problem to have that such a big hit like Shape of You could kind of swallow up a follow-up. Swallow up a follow-up.
Look at that.
Look at that. It's doing really well on its own. It's top 10 at adult pop radio, almost top 10 at all format radio. So as big as Shape of You is, Castle on the Hill has carved out its own place as the follow-up.
And one of the reasons that Castle on the Hill has been doing so well, like you mentioned, in the top 30 of the Hot 100 this week, is that Ed Sheeran performed the song on the Billboard Music Awards on ABC on May 21st. And ABC Radio's Andrea Dresdale was there on the red carpet backstage as well, getting a lot of scoops and sort of insider reactions from what was going on.
She's great at interviewing so many stars.
Yeah, it sounds like she had ran the gamut really between Prince Michael Jackson was there, Cher and Celine Dion getting some big praise too online and social media. So let's find out from Andrea what else was going on at the BBMAs and maybe some backstage scoop and who else she talked to. So Andrea Dresdale of ABC Radio here on the Billboard Chart Beat podcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Thank you.
Andrea Dresdale, Manager, Entertainment Programming for ABC Radio. Welcome back, Andrea.
Thanks for having me once again.
You don't have anything specifically to do with the TV side, do you? And who renews or cancels ABC TV shows, do you?
Why, do you want to make a pitch for a favorite show?
I would love for Imaginary Mary to come back, but I guess that's not in the works, is it?
Well, it's not really my thing. Sorry, I have no pull there.
All right. Well, thank you for being here. You've been on before, so thank you for coming back.
Oh, it's always a pleasure.
Trevor, this is someone who was backstage at the BBMAs talking to a lot of people there.
I know. Who'd you speak with? What'd you find out?
Well, I have to say that the greatest moment of the whole backstage experience came courtesy of Celine Dion. We all saw her perform My Heart Will Go on the show in that fabulous dress. So she comes backstage in the fabulous dress. Her stylist is crawling on the floor behind her, making sure the train is all nice and flat. I mean, he's literally, there's like a little carpet back, little mini red carpet backstage. She's walking. He's literally sitting on the floor, like filming her from behind. And after she's done speaking about how emotional it was to perform and all that stuff, then she's on her way out when she notices that Cher has come on and she's singing Believe. So she just stops and she quiets everybody down because she wants to see Cher. So she's watching Cher. Then she starts singing along with Cher in an imitation of Cher. We all start singing along, too. And we're all singing and dancing along with Celine Dion and Cher on the monitor. So that was a really, really great moment, I have to say.
Yeah, I like a lot of people, I guess somebody filmed that moment because I saw it going like viral that
Everybody
night.
Everybody was filming
backstage.
It. Yeah, I was standing like right next to Celine. It was really funny.
Okay, what was like some people were saying like it was almost like the iceberg itself. Like what was that dress like? Like up, like how big were those shoulder pads really?
She called it her clouds. She said that when her stylist brought her 15 racks of dresses to choose from, she said as soon as she saw those clouds, she was like, done. She really loved the clouds. It was they were pretty massive, though, I have to say.
Because they looked like, yeah, I mean, they're like up to her face,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, yeah. And then she had the illusion netting in between, you know, that had a very deep V plunge, but she had the illusion netting in between, so it wasn't as bare as it looked on TV. But, you know, she's a delight. She's very funny. She's always making jokes. And then after she was done, Rachel Platten ran up to her, and Rachel Platten is fangirling like you wouldn't believe, begging for a photo.
Right.
And Selena's like, oh, you know, it's of course. And they're posing for a photo, and one of the other reporters says, Rachel, what's going through your head right now? And Celine says, excuse me, we are taking a photo here right now, okay? Like, she was just like shutting people down so Rachel could have her moment.
Right.
And that was very nice.
It seemed like a lot of people were excited to meet Celine Dion there. People have grown up listening to her, or now, you know, younger artists.
Yeah, it is.
For the first time. Maybe.
It's funny because she had been on the show last year and she came backstage and talked to people. And that was kind of a very heavy emotional moment. She sang The Show Must Go On, which
right.
was her late husband's favorite song.
Right.
And but I didn't see the excitement of everybody wanting to meet her until this weekend. It was kind of cool. But the other Celine related thing that I saw, which was very cool, is that her son, René Char, was there. He gave her the Icon Award last year, as I'm sure you remember. So he was there, and P. Diddy and the Notorious B.I.G.'s son, C.J. Wallace,
right.
were walking the carpet together backstage, and all of a sudden they kind of stopped all the interviews, and they formed like a coterie around him, and the security came out and brought René Char out so he could meet them. So they were talking and handshaking, and he and CJ were like hugging each other, and it was really great because it was, you know, the kids of two legends, a meeting of the minds. And CJ said something about, oh, we should collaborate. I have no idea what they'd collaborate on because it's not like René Char is a musician, but that was a very sweet moment. And then later on in the evening, Prince Michael Jackson
right.
came backstage.
Yeah.
It would have been great to have all three of
yeah.
them. That didn't happen, but it was cool enough to see those two together.
I thought that on screen, Biggie's son and Prince Jackson both were really poised. I mean, I'm sure they're in the spotlight, you know, a lot, the way they've grown up, but they just seem like that moment was not too big for them, and they were very well spoken.
Oh, absolutely. I was asking CJ a little bit about his music, and it turns out he's actually part of a group. He's not a solo artist, and he said that it's not hip-hop specifically. It's pretty eclectic, the way he described it. But yes, I agree. He spoke very well. He was very poised. He talked about the mentor relationship that he has with Diddy. Diddy told me that when he was a little kid, he didn't see him much, but he was always, quote-unquote, a phone call away. But now that he's older, he says he's really getting the blessing of being able to hang out with him, and he seems to be really enjoying that. And in terms of Prince Michael Jackson, I spoke with him on the carpet, and he, yes, he's very well spoken, very poised. We talked a little bit about his charity. I asked him about his sister and where he thinks she's going to settle, because as we all know, every day she signs a new deal to do something else.
Right.
And he said that he thinks she'll find her place, but he's very proud of her. He thinks she's a great actress, and you know, we'll see where that goes.
How was your singing with Celine right next to her? Was that intimidating?
Well, she was doing the Cher impression, so I wasn't really trying to, you know, make a big deal. It was just a spontaneous, emotional thing.
Who else did you talk to?
Florida Georgia Line one came backstage. We talked about the fact that they keep on doing all these collaborations. Nelly, they sang with John Legend on the show. They are on a track on the Chainsmokers record. And they're touring with Nelly and the Backstreet Boys. They did the duet with the Backstreet Boys. And I asked them about why their music is so conducive to doing those collaborations. And basically they said because they wear their influences on their sleeves. Everything that they've ever listened to is part of their music. And then Brian Kelly of Florida Georgia Line teased that more collaborations would be coming. They were going to drop them on the world. So I don't know what that is, but stay tuned for that.
Listen, seeing you got ritualistic, cleansing my soul of addiction for now, 'cause I'm falling.
You know, unfortunately, we were disappointed that Drake didn't come backstage. He came back for photos, but he did not talk to us.
Keeping that, I mean, this is what, how long has Drake gone without doing, you know, an interview? This is,
yeah, it didn't
continuing that
me.
Streak. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. The Korean boy band that won, BTS, I spoke with them. I mean, there's seven of them, so right. That was kind of difficult.
They were here at Billboard recently, yeah, with the whole team. It was one of the biggest entourages we've seen.
Yeah, they were just very, very happy about the fact that they were recognized on an American show, because, you know, while they may be incredible superstars in their home country, they say America is what they dream of. America is always their goal. I impressed them with my one word of Korean, so that was pretty funny.
Which, go ahead, impress us too.
Oh, Annyeong Haseyo.
What does that mean?
Hello.
Of course. Okay. I figured as much.
That's a good word to learn. No, it felt like a breakout moment for K-pop, too, to be recognized on a show like that that's so mainstream.
And, I mean, it was incredible, just the audience reaction. We know they always had a big social presence, but, I mean, the screams that they got, like, I mean, just deafened, you know, what anybody else got. It was incredible to hear.
And they also talked about how great it was to hear their songs on the radio in America. Is, you know, when they hear their songs on the radio at home, it's no big deal. But when they hear them here, it's, you know, massive for them.
Any favorite interviews, people you were talking to on the red carpet?
Well, it was great to talk to Prince Michael Jackson. I spoke with Machine Gun Kelly, who I like a lot. I had just recently done a long sit-down with him. Who else did I talk to? I talked to Chris Daughtry. I talked to Imagine Dragons, who gave a little tribute to Chris Cornell. So I asked them about that.
Right.
I asked Chris Daughtry what kind of judge he would be on American Idol, even though he can't confirm whether or not he's going to be on American Idol. And he said he was just going to be blunt, like he is at home. Like, that's terrible.
Any inside info, Andrea, about being on ABC about
No,
Idol?
You know what? I wish that I did have inside info, but it's all just a mystery to us as
all
well.
Right.
And who else? DJ Khaled, who was just over the moon about the fact that I'm the one hit number one
right
on the Billboard Hot 100, and that it debuted at number one. That
right
is the thing that really impressed him. And he said it brought a tear to his eye. It was just unbelievable. But he's such a positive, happy guy. You know, he's so enthusiastic all the time. Who did I talk to? Rita Ora I talked to. Goodness, a lot of people. And I asked a lot of people what their song of the summer was.
Right, that's the other thing we want to talk to you about.
And a lot of people said my song, of course. You know,
their own.
Oh, I was going to say, I was like, you have a single?
No.
Andrea's
no
duet with Celine Dion.
Yeah, that's right. No, I remember Rita Ora said it was going to be her song, which is her new single coming out that she co-wrote, that Ed Sheeran co-wrote. But a lot of people said Drake, I have to say.
For Song of the Summer?
Yeah, a lot of people said.
Did they give a song?
Yeah, which song?
Mostly they said something by Drake. Or I'm sure it'll be something by Drake.
No, that's interesting because a lot of people, I mean, Drake himself has kind of said that he's taking a break after this. Like, he's slowing down. I mean, obviously, he's been on a roller coaster for the past year and a half. That seems weird to think that Drake will be not only back, but, you know, not really having a More Life single, not performing on TV. That's kind of a weird choice, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, I think Passion Fruit is such a summery song. And
Drake was obviously on everyone's mind that night with his record-breaking awards, so maybe it just – Drake wins everything. Sure, he'll get – and he had Song of the Summer last year with One Dance.
Right, of course. And, but I think people just really are into Drake. I mean, even the artists are, like, obsessed with Drake. But as I said, that song really is a good song for a summer night, a summer afternoon. I can see why John Mayer did that version of it. It's, like, works in all different arrangements.
Right.
So.
What else did people say? Beyond Drake, what were some of the picks? Beyond their own songs and beyond Drake.
People weren't really specific. Nobody was really like, it's going to be this, it's going to be that. It was either Drake or their own, believe it or not. It was,
okay.
Yeah. So it's up to us to decide All what right. the song of the summer is going to be, sadly.
Well, we got a lot of contenders going on. I mean, like you said, DJ Khaled is kind of the first one. I think a lot of programmers and some fans especially were like, the gauntlet was thrown when I'm the One came out. Obviously having Bieber and Quavo and Chance and Lil Wayne on the song definitely helps. I mean, that seems to me like at least the first contender debuted at number one, like you said, and still hanging on in the top five. So maybe something starting there.
I really agree. I told as soon as I heard that song, I contacted Gary. I was like, oh, my God, Song of the Summer. It's just so melodic. But the thing is will it hurt it because it's already peaked? It's already entered at number one. Is that going to hurt it on the chart?
It's growing at radio, so that's going to keep it steady on the chart. It seems like a song that's going to be in the top five, going to be in the top 10 for a long time. So I think it's absolutely going to be a contender. That the other song we've talked about is how Despacito, again, the other Bieber song right now, has actually passed it, been number one, has been gaining more. So it's possible that that could be a bigger hit this summer. Does that surprise you, Andrea? It's sort of a left field hit.
Dark horse.
Yeah, from Latin music, but obviously Bieber making it more accessible.
No, I think it kind of has the, what I was talking about to somebody, I think it's got the smooth magic, meaning it is now suitable for so many different genres that it can rack up those points like you wouldn't believe, because now it's got pop and it's got Latin and it's got, it could probably go to AC at some point and it can go to, you know, Radio Disney. It could go everywhere. So I think that because it's so multi-genre
right.
and it's still growing, I think absolutely it can be a contender, sure.
Same for I'm the One, because you've got the R&B side, you've got pop, this has pop and Latin. So two big hits that are finding audiences on all sides.
But here I am next to you. The sky is more blue in Malibu.
Miley did Malibu at the BBMAs.
Yes, I actually talked to Noah Cyrus on the red carpet, and she talked about how proud she was of Miley and her performance, and she was very emotional about the fact that Miley was going to sing the song. She said that Miley played the song for her a couple months ago. She really liked it. It's not my favorite song that she's ever released, but the fact...
What is?
The first single from her last album.
We Can't Stop?
Yeah.
Okay.
I really, really like that one. But I think everybody just is really into this new sound by her. I think everybody's just really surprised. And again, this is a song that can now welcome her back to all the different genres that maybe didn't really want to touch her before, like AC or maybe even country a little. She definitely has some country cred. So, and people love her. So I think that, and it's a, you know, it's a summer song. It's called Malibu,
right.
for goodness sake.
Right.
So I think absolutely has a chance there.
Also, speaking of Noah Cyrus, I have to give a shout out. I think the album title that she has is, that's so clever. NC-17, Noah Cyrus, 17.
Right.
I think that's a good one. I just want to say that's, as far as album titles of the year go, that's got to be a contender.
Yeah, I think, yeah, and I actually like her single a lot as well. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's a Cyrus takeover, and it's what, the 25th anniversary of Achy Breaky Heart, or
yeah, it was yeah this little Cyrus moment. I mean, you couldn't have planned it better.
There was a huge Cyrus invasion on the red carpet, actually, because Noah, I didn't see Miley, but Noah was there,
right.
Tish was there, yeah. Brandy was there, Billy Ray was there, so it was just, and everybody had something to promote. It was very cool.
People running where Trace was. He might have been the only one missing
right.
that night.
Oh, I'm trying.
Bad Liar by Selena Gomez. First of all, everybody loves Selena Gomez. So second of all, it sounds so different. It's got that Talking Head Psycho Killer bass line.
Right.
The way that she sings it is very interesting. It's co-written by Julia Michaels and Justin Tranter, so you can't get more pop than that. People have been waiting for something new from her. And also we have the double whammy of the Kygo single
right.
she did as well, which is also a great song.
Yeah, two very different sides of her. I think Bad Liar is a song that takes a couple listens at first. It sounds really out there. And the more you hear it, you hear the hook. And it seems like, yeah, this is something that would get stuck in your head.
And I think also people want to listen to it because they want to parse the lyrics for her feelings about the weekend and things like that.
Of course. That's always, you know, always got to be in there somewhere. Another pop star people talking about. Actually interesting that they put the singles out a day apart. So Selena came out on Thursday. Friday, Camila Cabello puts out her first solo single, All By Yourself, you know, no collaborations. What do you think about that song? She performed it at the BBMAs, Crying in the Club. Actually has a second song out as well, I Have Questions, but it seems like Crying in the Club is the first single. Yeah.
And has the Christina Aguilera sample, so built-in familiarity on that.
I was cute backstage at the BBMAs. Camila was sort of introducing herself to Diddy, and they were like fist bumping and stuff. Yeah. It was cute.
Harry Styles, what's your take? Everyone seems to have a take on Sign of the Times.
As a first single, I thought it was a little slow, but to establish what his new direction is and what his new sound is, I thought it was a smart choice. Although programming a song like that has got to be kind of difficult just simply because so many things are upbeat these days, and that is very slow and it's very long. And the album, I think, is very good. I think it's solid. I think that if people like this, they're going to like more on the record. I don't know what the next single is. People are saying they want Two Ghosts. And then, of course, if we're going to talk about Harry Styles, we also need to talk about Liam Payne's single.
Right. It just feels like solo explosion right now with from One Direction and Fifth Harmony now getting all these different solo projects all at once. It just feels like a whole bunch at once to keep track of.
Yeah, I mean, the sort of stack out of how, and I guess they couldn't plan it at all, but of course, Harry's still going on right now. You've got Niall, you know, Slow Hands is still moving up the chart, and I guess his album will be coming out pretty soon. And of course, Slow Hands kind of takes him in a different direction that Zayn had been in for a while, and then Zayn had the song with Party Next Door.
Which I thought was really good.
I thought it deserved more than it got. It really seemed to kind of disappear quickly, and I'm not sure if that was because Harry took all the air out of the room at the moment. But of course, Zayn's second album will be coming at some point. I mean, in terms of One Direction, going five directions, I mean, it's ridiculous how layered it is. But at the same time, kind of neat that all the guys have kind of carved out their own little path. It's not just,
right,
you know, five pop songs competing for the same slot at top 40, which I think is, you know, really cool and something that they've really stayed true to themselves, even though they maybe didn't get to explore it as much in the group as much as they would have wanted to, that they're at least taking hold of it now.
Well, I mean, on that topic, it's going to be interesting to see when Fifth Harmony comes back as a quartet and what their new music is going to sound like. I know they're all really excited about it. They think it's the best music they've ever done. Now that Normani has lost Dancing with the Stars, she was robbed, by the way. Now that she's lost Dancing with the Stars, she can focus on getting that record finished.
And I don't know, maybe this is kind of too weird to think, but I guess with Camila especially, I'll be interested to see, you know, what kind of audience she gets as well. I mean, I'm not sure how Fifth Harmony fans feel about the split. It wasn't a very clean split, obviously. It was, you know, some bad blood. I mean, has she lost a little bit of that Fifth Harmony crowd? You know, can she make up for it with, you know, the new audience that she'll be getting? It'll be kind of interesting to see how especially this first solo song by itself, no Machine Gun Kelly, no Shawn Mendes, does for that reason alone.
I would just like to see something completely come out of left field, you know, to be the song of the summer, or, you know, I really loved Greenlight when it first came out. Now, right, we're talking about Lord, but now she says a new single is coming. I don't know what it is yet, but I mean, who knows? That could be a big song.
I'm still surprised Greenlight wasn't a much bigger hit. It had a very quick run at pop radio, got top 10 at alternative, but it just seemed like it was going to be a really big pop. Maybe it was too much of a pop turn for Lord after, you know, really quirky debut with Royals. I can't really figure out why that wasn't a big pop hit.
No, me neither. I mean, it was so, it was one of those punch your fist in the air songs that you just wanted to dance to all night long. I mean, I just love it. So I'm really excited to hear the rest of the album. So we'll see what that does. But
that was a cool performance on the BBM.
Oh, yeah, that was my favorite. Of the ones that I saw, that was one of my favorite ones. But yeah, I mean, like crazy things like Body Like a Back Road. How about that? I mean, it's crossing over from country. Of course, Sam Hunt crossed over last time,
right,
with one of his singles. And this is like, what, it's like a 2-minute, 30-second little ditty.
It's incredible how short it is. Like, uh-huh. But it's compact, but it packs its punch, yeah.
Right, but the fact that it's doing so well, that's very interesting to me. It's, again, it's like, it's a real summery song. It's you know, hanging out, drinking beer, cruising around song. And there's a lot of interest in him now, too, because he seems to be doing this, let me put out some singles before I put out a new album right. thing. And also, he just got married, allegedly. I don't know if he's ever actually confirmed it, but...
Pulling that Adele style.
Yeah, for sure. And then another song that's sort of like, you know, not immediately, but I think Hard Times by Paramore. I think a lot of people are glad to see that group back. And right. that song is so 80s influenced that it's fun, you know, if you remember that era. And
Trevor doesn't, but I do.
Yeah. And well, and Haley has just such a great voice. And it's I'm glad to see them back. I'd like to see, you know, they've certainly done really well on the pop charts before.
And there are more pop hooks on that. Pool was a really good song. It mm-hmm. sounds like if Hard Times really connects, there's other potential pop hits mm-hmm. on that album.
Ooh, I love that dress, but you weren't needed anymore. No, you won't need it no more. Let's just kiss till we're naked, baby. Versace on the
What about slowing things down a little bit? Bruno Mars is going to be going with Versace on the floor. He performed that at the BBMAs this past week. So obviously, you know, not an upbeat kind of choice. Maybe That's What I Like would have been more summery for most people. What do you think about the chances of a Bruno R&B leaning ballad to take over?
Well, it's Bruno Mars. Everybody loves Bruno Mars. I mean, when we interviewed people about what they were most excited to see on the show, everybody said they wanted to see Bruno Mars. So I think everything that he does is going to do well.
Yeah.
But I think that also now that he's really established himself on the R&B side of things, which he wasn't really before, but now he is solidly, that gives him a lot more opportunity to do really well on the Song of the Summer chart.
Take my hand in the middle of a crisis. Pull me close, show me baby.
We've talked about big hits. Let's talk about some things that are a little more under the radar. Who knows? Could wind up blowing up maybe in time to really do well this summer. You start, Andrea. You're the guest.
Well, I really like this song that Daya did with Griffin called Feel Good.
Right.
That's a great song. I think that everybody's really used to her voice now, and they probably want to hear more. It's going to be a while before we get another record for her. And she's, of course, proven how well she does with EDM because of her Chainsmokers hit. So, but this song, I just thought it was great. I thought the melody was great.
Yeah, it's got a great hook.
Yeah, and I think if more people get on it, I think it could be pretty big.
What else you got?
The Sigrid song, Don't Kill My Vibe. A lot of people are really excited about that, and that's a really interesting message in our days of wanting a lot of female empowerment songs. I'm going to reference Haley Steinfeld, Most Girls Here, which is another song that could be really, really big, I think.
Right.
That kind of song is very popular now, and she has an interesting voice, but it's very modern and cool. I like the song Lost on You by LP. I don't know if that has a chance in hell of becoming a real pop hit, but...
It's growing a little bit at adult pop radio. It's starting.
Yeah. It's something I heard last year that really kind of stuck in my mind, and I really liked it. Maybe because it really reminded me of like classic Gwen Stefani, No Doubt. But I really do like that song, and I think once you hear it, it's very, very memorable. So those are like some left field things that I like.
You're in the Haim camp with
me. Yes.
Team Haim, okay.
Yeah, I like that one. I mean, again, that is a very summery, breezy song. I think that their fame has only, when they've been off the radio, their fame has grown mostly because of the Taylor Swift connection and just because they just seem to be very cool and hanging out with all these people who were cool. So I think there was a lot of interest. And when they came back with this song, which is such a great harmony laden summer song, then, you know, I think that they're going to get a lot more new fans as a result of this.
I got options. You there, you there, you there.
Heard Pitbull with Stephen Marley, Options?
It's Pitbull. It's the summer. It's a member of the Marley family.
Right?
Sounds pretty good.
It's catchy. It's not super up-tempo, but it's a really good hook. It kind of grows. I've heard it a little bit on Top 40 Radio, something to watch.
Yeah, it feels like every summer Pitbull and like Flo Rida just like trade off with like who's going to have a summer hit this year. And maybe, I mean, Flo Rida last year with My House, maybe this is Pitbull's turn.
Clean Bandit with Zara Larsson, Symphony.
I love that song. I'm a real sucker for great melodies.
Okay, and better or worse than Rockabye? That's the.
I like it better than Rockabye.
Better, okay.
And I think Zara's voice is great, so I really like that song.
And again, we're saying it could be Song of the Summer, could wind up being something we have no idea. Maybe it hasn't even written or recorded yet.
That could be coming up. And then, of course, you know, like last year we saw, I mean, this wasn't Song of the Summer, but some of these, like Kent Jones, Don't Mind, kind of just first timers explode right out of nowhere. So definitely, you know, Omi Cheerleader, obviously, a right few years back was in the exact same category. So
Childish like Gambino, Redbone, Keeps Growing, that is now really grown after months on the Hot 100.
It's been it's been out forever.
It's like really November, yeah.
And I think we're we should not discount anything else that Ed Sheeran decides to release.
Right. And the Chainsmokers.
Right, of course.
All right, we've got 3 months to find out. To enjoy the summer and listen to some great music, and we'll find out Labor Day if we were close at all or totally wrong on any of these suggestions.
We're going to go find out.
Andrea Dresdale, thank you so much for coming on the podcast again.
It's always a pleasure. Thanks for having me. Because baby, now we got bad blood. You know it used to be mad love. So take a look what you've done. Because baby, now we got bad blood. Hey, I can't take it back. Look where I'm at. We was OG like DOC, remember that?
So 2017 gave us Cher, Celine Dion. Let's look back a couple years to another BBMA's moment that's going to go down in history. Billboard Music Awards 2015, the show opens. Taylor Swift finally premieres the Bad Blood music video that she'd been teasing, you know, for weeks before on social media. All, you know, Selena Gomez is in it.
Right.
Carly Kloss, a lot of her squad at the time.
Yeah, never mind. I'm the One. That was actually the female version of Super Squad.
Yeah,
right
that was, you know, anyone who was everyone was in that music video. I mean, Hailee Steinfeld was in it.
Right.
Selena Gomez.
Lena Dunham was there.
Soraya from Empire. That was the video to be in.
But one guy featured on the song.
And the one guy who made the cut, Kendrick Lamar. And I think that was probably also the first time that a lot of people had heard the remix version.
Right.
She had put out Bad Blood originally on the album 1989.
Right.
Back in 2014, she enlisted Kendrick Lamar and he took over most of the verses. And, you know, the Taylor-Kendrick pairing obviously was successful as soon as the video came out and the week after shot to number one on the Hot 100 and was a nice radio staple that summer as well. But kind of an interesting pairing, especially between Taylor and Kendrick. There had been some mutual admiration before, but I don't think anyone saw this kind of collab coming between somebody so pop. And at that time, Kendrick, you know, he had huge success, but wasn't, you know, a mainstream pop radio kind of rapper.
Right. And you're looking back only 2 years at this point, and you know, look how far he's come. Now he does feel like so much more of a mainstream name. So to think even 2 years ago, who is this guy on Bad Blood? That's how far he's come at this point.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't want to, for everybody out there, I do not want to say that Taylor Swift put Kendrick Lamar on the map. That is not what anyone is trying to say at all. But, you know, one thing that at least the collaboration does do, you know, kind of you have to agree, is that for Taylor fans who would have never known about Kendrick, maybe wouldn't have been, you know, in tune with his album, his sales, it brings him to a different audience, you know. And I think that that's something that, interestingly, a lot of these sort of pop rap pairings in the past couple of years, it's kind of, I guess before it seemed a little more natural, you know, and especially when a lot of R&B singers, I mean, back in the 90s, you can go back as far as Method Man, Mary J. Blige doing their duet back in the mid-90s. You've got, of course, sort of the romantic pairings in the 2000s. Jay-Z, Beyonce. You've got Ashanti and Ja Rule on a lot of those songs.
Right.
Nelly and Kelly Rowland on Dilemma. And then, you know, at some point, it becomes more of a pop phase. And And you get sort of these almost kind of weird collaborations in the past couple of years. I know that radio in particular has stripped out.
If you hear California Girls on an AC radio station, you would not know that Snoop Dogg was ever a part of the song, because Katie does her part of the song, and then there's a little instrumental break, and then it goes right back to Katie, and Snoop was never there.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I know even back in the day, and of course when you hear a song the right way for the first time, it kind of throws you off. I remember when they used to cut out the beginning of Jay-Z's Umbrella part, you know, and just go straight into Rihanna's verse.
Yeah, that became an AC hit the same way, just by making it a Rihanna song.
And it was like, oh, okay. And then in the past couple of years, we've seen some of these super pop pairings with rappers that seem almost like, how did these fit together? I mean, like, look at Payphone by Maroon 5.
Right.
With Wiz Khalifa on verse. And I mean, it's kind of weird, because I think it kind of sucks that the artists, you think that really the artists reach out to the rappers because they're fans, they want to collaborate, they want to work together. And then for radio to be like, maybe not, you know, it's a little weird.
Yeah, I think a lot of it too is artists at this point have grown up with rap and hip hop being such a part of their lives that even if they're a pop act, at their core, they love that sound. And a lot of them want that on some of their songs. Even maybe one of the more extreme examples, Florida Georgia Line, bringing in Nelly on Cruise, a country hit. Obviously, country didn't play the version with Nelly, but we're even seeing that at a genre like country.
Yeah, and I mean, in particular, like you're saying, people grew up with the sound. I mean, and you kind of get some of these hybrids too, like 21 Pilots, like with Ride, you know, in particular, I think has a, I mean, it's kind of even weird. Is he singing? Is he rapping?
It's almost like
is
they're their own featured rapper for verses.
Yeah.
And then they have the sung chorus.
Yeah. Definitely. Like, there's kind of that weird, it kind of hybrid shift. And I think in general, you know, people are talking about, especially when you look at somebody like Drake, who's kind of blurring the lines between rap and R&B into a, you know, sort of a one-man band kind of style. But it definitely seems like that pop music, like pure pop, not R&B, not, you know, not your Beyonce Ashanti leanings, has really taken a hold of that. And really, more than anything, that also goes to show just how far rap's influence is pervasive. Like you're saying, in country, I mean, the fact that, you know, who would have thought this genre that's really, you know, 30, 35 years old? I mean, it's a young thing. And for people especially like Kendrick, you know, Wiz Khalifa, like we saw on Payphone, even Snoop to come back around to this new generation and Legion, can't deny it.
And right after the BBMAs, the Bad Blood video premiered. Song went to number one the next week on the Hot 100. 2 years later, the answer song to Bad Blood debuts on the Hot 100.
No.
This week at number 46.
Another pop rap collaboration.
Right. Katy Perry's Swish Swish, featuring Nicki Minaj.
Swish Swish.
So Katy did a song that's basketball themed, Swish Swish.
Okay.
And everyone seems to think or know that it's about Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift is really, really tall. So if they actually played basketball, wouldn't Taylor Swift have an advantage and maybe she'd be the swishing one?
I mean, does Taylor have game?
I think there might be a lot of fouls on each side. So the score might be, they might both foul out.
They might
before anyone even scores.
Left and right, left, right, and center.
I think there's a part of us, music fans, wonder. There's been so much talk with Katy Perry's album coming out. And all this talk, James Corden, about the whole rivalry with Taylor. Could this actually all be playing us for a duet coming from the two of them?
At this point, I would really hope not. 2014 is when 1989 came out. Right. So at least before, maybe then, 2013 even. All this for one song? That'd be kind of. And especially if the song isn't very good. I mean, if they're going to do it, they got to come up with like a Boy Is Mine banger. I would be highly amazed if somebody made a 4-year, you know, fake PR scandal to sell one song. But congrats to the real winner in all this. Again, Kendrick Lamar, who is still holding on to the top five. We saw what Damn did earlier this year. I mean, you know, out of Bad Blood, as much as it helped Taylor, it really helped Kendrick as well. And look where he's at.
You know what? Talking about artists who maybe had some disagreements, Taylor and Nicki, and then they wound up
exactly
performing together. But now Nicki's on the Katy song, so it's all pretty intertwined.
That's the way it goes, right? It's all just a giant mess.
It's all for our entertainment, so it's all good for us.
Welcome to 2017.
All right. Next week on the podcast, we're going back to 1995 for our guest interview. The Friends theme by the Rembrandts became a huge hit.
But I didn't even really know the story until we wound up talking to the programmer who took the TV theme song, less than a minute long, got looped into a longer version, became a hit. Label didn't even want it to become a hit. It's a pretty interesting backstory, so we'll talk about that next week. Charlie Quinn, the programmer at the time in Nashville, maybe one of the people most responsible for that song being a huge hit in 1995, and 22 years later, still a huge hit.
Yeah, literally a grassroots movement story that, you know, from a Nashville radio station to, I mean, even nowadays, you know, one of the most iconic theme songs ever. Just, you know, a guy said, hey, this sounds good, and he turned it into a hit.
I think we got to talk TV shows and TV themes next week on the podcast.
How do you talk to an angel, or, you know, some of the... If you look, the look Gary just gave me,
I'm very proud of you.
He didn't know I could put those words together, let alone knew what it meant.
If you can research 70s and 80s TV, I'll be even more impressed.
I mean, we'll see. Miami Vice out there, some other things. So tune in next week to find out.
All right, Trevor, I'm passing the ball to you. Shoot it.
And we're going down the lane. We're weaving in and out of the squad. We just go up.
Nothing but net.
So keep calm, honey. I'ma stick around for more than a minute. Get used to it. Funny, my name keeps coming at your mouth, 'cause I stay winning. Name up like swish, swish, bish. Another one in the basket.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.